Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Can I get an amen from everybody? Amen. Because I feel in my heart this morning that if you didn't want to come to church, you wouldn't have come to church. Amen. I'm just convinced in my spirit of that this morning. And it's so good and such an honor, amen, to be with you again. Amen. That's your pastor. He must have thought I did a decent job last time to let me come back to preach to you again. And I'm just thankful. Amen. The Lord has done a work. Amen. In the meantime, amen, we've preached at several different places, have seen souls saved. Amen. People filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just a couple Sundays ago, we had a 7-year-old boy. As a matter of fact, happened to be my nephew. Amen. He come up and he just says, you know what? I just want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know today that we need another day and another opportunity, amen, for the young people of today to say, you know what, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. How many know I'm just convinced in my spirit, amen, that I believe that it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to get us through these last days. Can you say amen with me? Amen. I don't believe, amen, that just the younger part of this generation, amen, but I believe that the elders, amen, of the church today need to get filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen with me this morning? Amen. I believe with all of my heart, amen, that it's gonna be nothing less, amen, in the last days than the Bible said is perilous times. But praise be to God that we serve a man named Jesus, amen, that's never gonna leave us. He's never gonna forsake us, but he said he'd be with us to the very end of time. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of Zechariah chapter number 2. Zechariah chapter number 2. And when you're there, say amen with me. Zechariah chapter number 2, starting in verse number 1, going through verse number 7. The Bible said, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth, and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. If you would pray with me this morning. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, to come to your house, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit and to bring this word. But Lord, and we pray this morning that your spirit, dear God, would have its precious and divine and anointed way this morning, dear God, that you would begin to open the hearts, that you would begin to open the spirits and the eyes through the spirit, Lord, of the people that's gathered here this morning, Father, Lord, unto your word that you've brought before us this morning. And Lord, I pray that we'd be tentative unto your spirit, that we would be obedient unto your spirit, Father. And we pray this morning, dear God, that you would anoint your servant, Lord, to bring your word, for your word is already anointed, Father. But Lord, I believe, dear God, that without the anointing, Lord, I can do nothing. And Father, I pray this morning, and Lord, as I felt in prayer this morning, dear God, that you're going to do something great, Lord, that you're going to uplift and you're going to encourage and exalt, dear God, the body of Christ, Lord, this morning in these last days, Father, Lord, for there are perilous times, there are times of sorrow, times, dear God, of distress, and dear God, times of disobedience in this generation. And I pray, Lord, that through the authority of your word and your son Jesus Christ, that you would bring them prostrate, Lord, before you this morning, dear God, that your word would prevail this morning in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you glory. And Father, we pray that if there's one that's lost this morning, Lord, we pray that you would save their soul, convict their souls by the mighty Holy Ghost. And God, we pray this morning, if there be any sick this morning amongst us, Father, let us, Lord, let them come forth that they may be healed this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would touch us and bless us and bless this message in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. I'm going to bring you a message, amen, this morning, simply entitled, The Reconstruction on the Body of Christ. The reason for the, you may say, what do you mean by reconstruction on the body of Christ? What is reconstruction and what does the body of Christ have to do one with another? Amen. But I believe, amen, that the Lord began to show me, Brother Stone, in my prayer and throughout the last couple of weeks, that I believe that the Lord and that the Holy Ghost is about to take the church of Jesus Christ into another dimension, if you would, this morning. I believe that in these last days, I just believe in my heart that the Bible said, even though we've already declared that there will be perilous times, amen. But I believe that the church in the last days, amen, is going to prevail over the devil. Can you say amen? That the devil will have no hold on the church, amen. That the devil, amen, will have no hold, amen, and will not even compare to the power that God is about to lay and that he's about to establish upon the church of his body, if you would, today. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm excited, amen, to be a part of the body of Christ this morning, because I know without a doubt that there are great things coming for the house of God and for the body of Christ. I believe today that people out there, they're going to start seeking and they're going to start searching, amen, for someone, amen, that's true to their witness, amen. Not someone that will witness to them one day, amen, and see them in the bars, amen, the next day, amen, for someone to look to, amen, that will be a witness, amen, unto them of God, and then the next time they're talking, amen, they're cussing, amen, from the very same lips that they witnessed from. I believe today, Brother Stone, with all of my heart, that in the last days, that Joel 2:28 declares that in the last days he'll pour his spirit upon all flesh. I believe that with all of my heart this morning. And I believe that today that we're getting into the last days to where that his spirit is about to be poured upon us and upon his people in the last days. Because people are tired of running. People are tired of searching, amen, for something that's true. They're tired of going, amen, and sleeping around with some other woman that's not their wife to seek happiness and to seek pleasure. They're looking, amen, for truth, amen. They're looking for something, amen, that's not in the bottle of alcohol or liquor this morning. They're looking for something that's true. And I don't know about you, but I desire to be that truth, amen, that they can find this morning. Oh, I want to be, amen, in this movement that this is about to happen. I believe in my spirit that it's about to get good for the body of Christ, that it's about to get interesting for the body of Christ, that it's about, amen, to get good for those that believe and those that wait upon Jesus this morning. I just believe that with all of my heart this morning. And I believe this morning that you may say, what do you mean by reconstruction on the body of Christ? And simply, the body of Christ is the church of God, if you would, tonight. That is who we are. We, as the body of Christ, is the church of Jesus Christ. We are the church that is and that is to come. Amen. I don't know about you, but I still believe, amen, from a young age, growing up in church, that as my mom and dad preached, that Jesus is coming back. I don't know if there's any believers in the house tonight that would say that Jesus is coming back. I still believe that he's coming back, and I want to be a part, amen, of the body of believers, amen, that still believe that Jesus is coming back. Some believe that he's already came and gone and that we're left here just to suffer, but I refuse to believe that with all of my heart, for my Bible says that God, he declared that man's not appointed unto my wrath but unto salvation. And I believe that we're about to see some things happen, amen, in the church, and not only in the church, but in the world today, that we've never even dreamed of seeing. We're about to see, the Bible said in Matthew 24, that in the last days that you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. I believe that we're about to see a war that ain't nobody ever seen in their life, that nobody's ever served in their life. I believe that times are fixing to get really bad, but I can bring some encouragement to you today, that if you be bought with the blood of Jesus this morning, you got nothing to worry about, because Jesus has your back. I preached a message not too long ago. ago, a couple Sundays ago, Wednesdays ago, whatever Sunday or Wednesday it was, I preached a message that the Lord had given me when Jesus went to St. Peter and he said, Simon, the devil has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I preached a message along the lines that the King has your back. How many know that the King has your back this morning? How many know that no matter what you're going through this morning, and that it doesn't matter what trials or tribulation, it doesn't matter what sickness you're facing, and it doesn't matter what the doctors have deemed upon you, amen, that you've got cancer and you've got 12 weeks, you've got 6 months, you've got a year, 12 years left, amen, on your body. I don't care. I'm to the point, amen, to where I'm going to believe the Word of God. That when King Hezekiah, the Bible said, amen, that God spoke to him and told him to get everything in line because he's about to die. The Bible didn't just specifically say that you're about to die. The Bible said that you will die and you will not live. That's pretty adamant. That's pretty upfront, amen. So for someone to say, you will die and you will not live. But Hezekiah, he could have looked at God and he said, well, I'm going to die, so there's no use in doing anything anymore, so I'm just going to lay here, I'm just going to suffer, I'm just going to lay in my sickness, and I'm going to lay, amen, I'm not going to do anything. But no, Hezekiah, he refused, amen, to lay there and die. We have people in the house of God today that have just laid over and died, that they say, well, my finances aren't where they ought to be, and I prayed to God one time and he didn't hear me, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to give up. I'm going to throw in the towel, if you would, and they're just going to give up. Well, Hezekiah, he refused to just give up. What he did is, the Bible said that he turned his face toward the wall and he began to weep, and the Lord began to reveal unto me the significance in the wall. In those days, that wall was made out, amen, of mortar, and was made out, and what it did is it turned to rock. And the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, and he began to show me, Brother Stone, that we need to not turn our face toward the wall, but we need to turn our face, as Hezekiah did, unto the Rock of Ages, if you would, tonight, even this morning. I believe today that people in the house of God, they're going to start turning their face one more time unto the Rock of Ages, in whom their trust is, in whom their belief is, in whom their whole being is, amen, this morning. I believe today that Jesus is about to take this church and he's about to turn some things around. He's about to change your life. He's about to turn some things around in your favor this morning, and that you can be a witness of the grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. Hallelujah to God. He's about to turn some things around. He's about to do some things, amen, in the body of Christ. Because let me tell you something, the body of Christ, from what it used to be into what it is today, the church, amen, it has left, amen, the Bible said its first love, as I believe Moses said, has left its first love. How many know we need to get back to our first love this morning? We need to get back to Jesus this morning. And I believe that's what the Holy Ghost has sent to us to do for this last day, is to turn our hearts back to Him. You may say, well, my heart, it's clean. My heart is pure. I can't think of anything that's in my life that's going to hinder me from God. Well, this morning, if you're here and you believe that, and that is true, great. But I can assure you that there are people around you. Your neighbor next to you, amen, is going through something. They're going through trials. They're going through tribulations, amen. Some of your neighbors around you this morning, and not just here, but this is in the church body in general, amen, all across the United States, not just in the United States, but in the foreign lands, in India, amen, in Africa, in Uganda, and everywhere that you can think of this morning, there are people that's going through things that you don't even know of. There are people that's battling things that you don't even know of. There are people that's bound, amen. There are preachers in the pulpits this morning that's bound to things that if they were to reveal them unto you, would blow your mind this morning. There are Sunday school teachers, amen, that are committing adultery every day of their lives across the United States. There, in the last days, these last days are very critical, because the devil knows that he doesn't have long to wait this morning. And so what he does is he likes to bring up our past. He likes to bring the things that we were bound to before we started serving Jesus. And to this day, the things that you were bound to are still a weakness in your life. Because I can tell you one thing. The things that I was bound to, amen, in my life before I was a Christian, amen. The devil, he likes to bring those things up to me. He likes to put me in places, amen. He likes to put things in places to where he knows that I'm going to so I can be tempted of him. But the Bible said as Jesus declared unto Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he said, when thou art converted. How many know tonight, this morning, that we need some people in here to be converted? Amen. We need some people in the house of God. We need the body of Christ to get back to the place where you say, you know what? I still believe in old time repentance. Amen. I still believe, amen, in my heart that if I slip up and I say, amen, even a slang word, I need to repent of my sin. Amen. You and me, amen, and we look at something, amen, and we just covet. We need to turn around and we need to repent right then. We don't need to wait. We don't need to put it off. But we need to do it right then. The body of Christ has put things off for so long, amen, that they've even forgot, amen, what they were going to do yesterday. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my mind I tend to forget things. I can tell you what, some days I can be driving down the road and I can say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Or my wife can tell me to do something. I'll say, yeah, I'll get on that in just a few minutes. 10 minutes later rolls around and I done forgot that I got to go do that. And she has to remind me again. And she don't like to remind me. She likes for things to get done right then. Amen. How many know Jesus likes for things to get done right then? How many knows, amen, but Jesus has patience this morning. The Bible calls it long suffering. Jesus has long suffering. If it wasn't for the long suffering of Christ, Brother, I wouldn't be here this morning. Because if he was a God, amen, that expected it to be done then and right then and no minute later, amen, I would be in a devil's hell this morning. Because I can promise you one thing, that if it wasn't for the long suffering and the love of Jesus Christ this morning, there are several of us, if not every single one of us, wouldn't be here this morning. But we've got, as a body of Christ, we've gotten to the place, amen, to where that we want to allow anything and everything to come into the house of God. Any of y'all ever heard of a man by the name of John Osteen in this building? If you don't know who he is, that's the late John Osteen of, he is the father of Joel Osteen. And you talking about a preacher now, and he once made this statement long years ago, that he said that the church is getting worldly and that the world is getting churchy. Now if you'll sit there and you'll dissect that for just a second, just his words alone, he said, and I believe that that people just say that it's a quote or that it's just a statement, but I don't believe, Brother Stone, that it's a statement or just a quote, but I believe that it was a prophetic word, amen, for the generation to come, and that was us, that is us, amen. And he just simply said, amen, that the world is getting churchy and the church is getting worldly, amen. I don't know about you, but places that I go and preach, amen, and sometimes when I just go, amen, to a different church or whatever the time may be, and I can look, amen, at the things that they've got going on in their sanctuary. I can see all the stuff that they got going on. I can see the kind of music that they're playing, amen. They just say, well, they ain't gonna get in, amen, on the hymnals anymore. I don't know about you, amen, but I can get just a blessing, just as much, if not more of a blessing, than I can listening to a lot of the songs that they sing today. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a stickler on praise and worship music, but I can tell you one thing, as a preacher of the gospel and as a servant of Jesus Christ, there are things that I have to guard my heart on. There are things that you have to guard your heart on. You can't just let anything and everything come in and say, well, it's got God in it, it's got Jesus in it, it's got the Holy Spirit in it, amen. They say those names, amen, so it must be alright. Well, there's a whole lot of difference, amen. And today the Lord spoke to me years ago and he told me, sister, he said, the church today is mistaken adrenaline for the Spirit of God. They've mistaken the adrenaline for the Spirit of God today in the house of God. People today, they like the upbeat music, and don't get me wrong, I like the upbeat music, but there comes a time, amen, for the Bible said that there's a time, amen, and a season for everything, amen. But I believe today that you can't just have an upbeat music, amen, and then preach the gospel, amen, or preach a gospel, or preach a word, amen. I don't believe that. I believe if you want to get people in today, and I believe that people in today's society, as I've said, they're looking for something that's truth. They're tired of doing the drugs and the alcohol. They're tired, amen, of snorting cocaine, amen, and getting the high, and trying to get their high on, amen, to get away from the things of this world. But I'm thankful to know today that I serve a God, amen, who sent a man named the Holy Ghost, amen, that I can go and that I can get so far into the presence of God that I can get high off of the Holy Ghost today. And when I come down from that high, I ain't got to wonder where I've been, and I ain't got to wonder what I've done. I ain't got to wonder who I've been with. Amen. For I know in the Holy Ghost exactly where I've been. I ain't got to go out. I ain't got to go to the bars, and I ain't got to go here, and I ain't got to go there. Amen. And get drunk of the things of this world. Amen. And then wonder the next day why in the world my head's hurting so bad. Amen. But I can get into the Word of God, and I can get into the Spirit of God, and I can know exactly where I've been and what I've been doing, and to be in my right mind the next morning. We read in Numbers chapter number 4. Of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. The Bible said that they offered strange fire unto God. But the Bible also says that they died before God because they offered strange fire before God. Friends, we have people, the church has gotten to the point, amen, to where that they're gonna let, as I said, anything and everything come in. They're gonna let, amen, they're gonna let a man and a woman that's not saved, and that's not even married, that's living together, come up and do their praise and worship, amen. It happens all across America today. We got people, amen, nowadays, that are letting homosexuals, amen, come in and hold leadership positions in their church, where we've got churches today, amen, they've got people in there, amen, that are about to be sex offenders, that are teaching their children's classes, and I know of a church that's doing that right now, amen. You and me, amen, we need to get back to what they call the discerning of the spirits, amen, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the discerning of the spirits, to know what is right and to know what is wrong. God told Aaron, he said, I've placed you over the priest, that you would teach them what is right and what is wrong, what is holy and what is unholy, and what is clean and what is unclean. The body of Christ today, in general and across America today, they've gotten away from the fact, amen, that they even know what discerning of the spirits is. They've gotten away from the fact that they don't even know what right and wrong is anymore. That, you know what, everything, amen, in the sight of God, God is love, and God, He'll love you no matter what. You can do whatever you want to and get away with it. But I still believe, amen, that God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did to Nadab and Abihu, I still believe that He can do it today. What He did, amen, to the people, amen, that disobeyed His commandments, amen, that was caught in adultery, that they should be stoned, I believe today that He can do the same as He did back then. And you may say, well, we live in grace, we don't live in law. Well, that's true, but I still believe that God stands true to His commandments. I believe that God is still standing true and still standing firm, amen, on the commandments of His Word. He said that I watch over my word that to perform it so it will not come back void. Oh, I'm thankful to know this morning that His word is true, that I can call upon His word, that I can go to His word for anything. I'm glad, amen, that He didn't leave us ignorant. Can you say amen? He didn't leave us ignorant, for He gave us every answer that we need to know. I talked to a preacher, it's been years ago now when I first got saved, and I don't know who was preaching. I don't know if I was preaching, or I don't know if someone else was preaching, but he caught me coming down the aisles. Him and his wife was walking out. He said, you know what? He said, the Word of God needs to be revised. He said, it needs to be rewritten. I said, is that so? He said, Yes, he said, because there are things that are happening in today, amen, that are fixing to happen that the Bible don't even speak of. So the Bible needs to be rewritten. Now, young in the faith, I didn't know exactly what to say, so I didn't say anything. But I went back into my prayer closet, into my prayer time, and into the Word that next week, amen, all through that week, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me, Pastor, and he began to tell me, he said, you know what, my word doesn't need to be rewritten, but their spirit needs to be rewritten. Can you say amen? That you and me, amen, we get to the point where we think that this needs to be added, and that needs to be added, and this needs to be taken away, and this needs to be taken away. You and me need to get back to the place where we say, oh God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my error, amen. Let me go free this morning, amen, from my thoughts. Let me get back to your word and what your word is. I heard a man say the other day that if I be biblically correct, I'll never be wrong. People today want to be politically correct, but we won't go into that this morning, amen. But people talk about being politically correct. Well, I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct, amen. I could care less about that garbage being politically correct, amen. I just know what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to live on. But he said, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. Here we see and we find in the vision that Zechariah is having, and he sees this vision of this angel that is coming to him, and he's got this stick in his hand, and Zechariah is wondering what in the world he's doing with this stick in his hand. And what the angel speaks to him, amen, is pretty prolific, if you would, today. And what he's simply saying is he is representing a contractor, if you would. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning, that the contractor is in the house, amen. That the contractor, amen, to the house of God, he's going, amen, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, and he said, you know what, this story here in Jerusalem is very significant to the body of Christ, because this here is exactly what the body of Christ is, and who he's referring this to, amen. And what he's trying to say is, he said, I've got this tape, this measuring stick, or in our days it's a tape measure. He said, I've got this tape measure in my hand, and I'm going to come in and I'm going to do some remodeling. I've got to take some measurements of some things, amen. And sometimes the Lord has to take some measurements to see how really just fat, amen, our relationship with him has became, amen. Just to see, amen, just how long of a prayer time that we can really spend with him this morning. The contractor is in the house this morning. He said, you know, he said, I'm gonna measure. He said, I've came to measure the height or the width, and I've came to measure the length of Jerusalem. And you know, I began to sit there this morning in my hotel room at my desk, and I began to read over this. And the Holy Ghost began to deposit this into my heart. And he began to ask me the question. He said, do you realize that he measured every distance? He measured everything but one thing. He measured everything. He measured the width, and he measured the length. But you notice that he didn't measure the height. And the Holy Ghost began to question me. He said, do you know why he didn't measure the height? And we're referring to the body of Christ again. Do you realize why he didn't measure the height in this situation? And I began to question the Holy Ghost, because I didn't know why. And the Holy Ghost began to tell me, that's because the body of Christ, it has no limits, if you would, today. The body of Christ has no limits when it comes to God. The body of Christ, amen, is heaven. Our limit is heaven, amen, and that is limitless. Can you say amen this morning? I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me today, to know that I'm limitless this morning when it comes to the Spirit of God. To know that I can do anything that I want to know that I can be anointed as much as I want to be anointed, to know that I can have as many blessings as I want, to know, amen, that everything that I want can be mine. How many know if you be a child of God, everything, amen, that you place your hands on can be yours? Everywhere that you go, that your feet trod, can be yours. Everything that you look at, amen, through the Spirit, not coveting, but everything that you look at, amen, the Lord can bless you with, amen. All we have to do is ask. But in verse number 3, he said, Excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. This story here, it reminds me, as the angel, amen, being the contractor of God in this situation, in this circumstance, he was going out and he was going to measure, amen, and what he was doing is he was measuring, amen, Jerusalem for what we're about to get into. The Bible said, and we'll just go ahead and read that real quick, go to the fourth verse with me, and he said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Oh, what he's trying to say here is, he said, you know what? He said, I've got to get these measurements. I've got to put these measurements down because I'm about to tear the walls out from the church. I'm about to kick the walls down. I'm about to kick the ceiling off. I'm about to kick everything down because I believe, amen, that God, amen, has a plan for the body of Christ. I believe that there's something in store for the body of Christ. And the fifth verse declares this, and he said, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Oh, we're about to see something happen in the body of Christ. We're about to see something happen, amen, in this house. We're about to see something happen, amen, in these last days. For the Bible says in Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 3, and he said, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. I don't know about you, but the Lord is about to, amen, to come back, and he's about to, not necessarily, amen, he's about to come back and get his people, but he's about to make a visit through the Holy Ghost onto this earth, amen, and he's about to cause all kinds of commotion, he's about to cause all kinds of things to happen, and he's about to stir those churches, amen, that thinks that they can do anything they want to and get away with it. He's about to bring a rude awakening unto them, but most of all, he's about to bring an awakening unto the church. Amen. That wants something of him. Amen. He's about to bring something. He's about to come in and kick these walls down. Amen. That your attendance is about to be raised. He's about to come in. That your offering, amen, is overflowing. That your church is overflowing. He's about to come in. He's about to kick these, in the spiritual, if you would. He's about to kick these walls down. And he's about to replace these walls. Amen. He's going to build new walls around us that are made of fire and not of plaster, not of sheetrock, amen, but of fire. For we read in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, that they were all gathered in one mind and one accord, and all of a sudden they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and the Bible said that it landed upon them as a, like as a fire, like as of tongues, amen, and they began to speak with other tongues. He's about to bring in the fire of the Holy Ghost to surround his church, not only just his church, but he's about to put a fire around his people, amen, that are looking for something from him, that are wanting a blessing from him this morning, that are wanting to do something for him. I don't know about you, but there's a song that I get excited when the old song that sings, it says, Lord, use me and don't refuse me, for surely there's a blessing, for surely there's a work that I must do, and even though my will is humble, oh, let my will to crumble, for surely there's a work that I must do. How many know today there's a work that you can do for Jesus? How many know that Jesus has something for you this morning that nobody else can do? How many know today that he's fixing to use you and he's fixing to use me, amen, to serve notice on the devil, that you know what, that you can go ahead and get your grubby paws off of the church, because the church is not yours. The church does not belong to you. Won't you go and find something that does belong to you, because this does not belong to you. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that day and in that hour, and I want to be in that movement, amen, when he says, you know what, I'm looking for somebody, amen. Amen. The Bible said in the Old Testament that he was looking for somebody to fill the gap. But the Bible said that there was none to be found to fill the gap. I want to be there and I want to help fill that gap. I want to be there when my brothers or my sisters are needing prayer. I want to be there, amen, when I have the extra cash in my billfold. Amen. When the offering's running a little low, amen, to stick it in. When the building fund's running just a little bit lower, amen, go ahead and stick it in. I want to be there, amen, when somebody needs needs me, amen. When the pastor needs somebody, amen, to fill in, I want to be there. When there's work to be done, I want to be there. When somebody's in need, I want to be there. How many know that's what it's all about? For Cain, he asked, he said, am I my brother's keeper? How many know the Bible said that you are your brother's keeper? How many know that there's a blessing in being an example and being an accountability partner unto your brothers and unto your sisters? For the Bible even declares that if you see your brother or your sister caught in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Didn't say you which are religious. He said you which are spiritual. Go to them and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He didn't say go to them and restore them with all humility that you can possibly think of. He didn't say go and embarrass them, but he said restore them in the spirit of meekness or in the spirit of humbleness. How many know today we need to get the humbleness back in the house of God? I don't know about you, but every day I need humbleness in my life. There's some days that I think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but then I think that, and the Bible also declares to, when a man thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Oh, when I think I'm to that point, amen, he shows me that his word is true, amen, and he will allow me to fall at times, because he knows that, you know what, when you fall, that you're gonna look up and you're gonna say, oh God, what was I thinking? Oh, I may be the only one in this house this morning that's ever done that. And I look at him a lot of times and I say, oh God, what was I thinking? There's an old commercial, there's some kind of medicine or whatever, Tums or whatever it was. This old man, he had ate this whole pie, and he was laying in bed that night. He tossed and he turned and he couldn't go to sleep, and he stood up and he sat on the side of his bed and he said, oh, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. How many know sometimes we eat the whole thing? How many know sometimes instead of sticking one foot in your mouth, we stick both feet in our mouth? How many know the church sometimes sticks both feet in their mouth? Amen. They stick more, amen, than what they can handle. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I want to get to the place where when God starts to feel, when God starts to do their work, amen, I want to be there, amen, when he says, you know what, you can go on. You can keep doing this. I don't know about you, but I want to be there. I want to be there. Verse number 6. He said, now this is not Santa Claus, okay? He said, ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughters of Babylon. How many know the church today is dealing with, dibble dabbling, whatever you want to call it, again in Babylon? How many know that Babylon is symbolic to what they call bondage? Amen. Babylon was a state and was a place of bondage, amen, where people went and that they didn't leave there, amen, that all they did was they worked and they labored, amen, they were under bondage, amen. Churches, they're getting back to the place where they think, you know what, I think it'll be alright if we can bring this in. I think it'll be alright if we let this person in leadership and that person in leadership, or if we let this person do that, we let this person do that. And I believe that the more that we do that, the more the church goes into bondage. The more that the church begins to deal and begin to lay with the daughters of Babylon. But Jesus is about to come up, amen. In Luke chapter number 14, in verse number 23, he says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. What he's trying to say here is, and verse number 6, when he said, you know what, he said, come forth and from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be used of God. I want to say, you know what, God, whatever you have for me, use me. Whatever you have for me, use me. I remember growing up in my ministry, and the whole time, which of course I was raised up My dad pastored for so many years, and I sat under my pastor, and I've watched my pastor do things and have to go through things, and I've always said, oh God, I don't want to be a pastor. I refuse to be a pastor. I know what they go through. I know what they do. I know the trouble that they have to go. I don't want to be a pastor. And that was my mindset for years and years and years. And so this past year, I began to pray earlier before this year, December, November, December, Pastor. And I began to get right with God, and I began to pray through. Yeah, that's right. I said I began to pray through because my mindset wasn't right. Because I wanted to do what this old preacher boy wanted to do. I wanted to do what this old preacher boy felt comfortable doing, amen, and that's evangelizing. I just want to be an evangelist. I want to travel. I want to do this and I want to do that. This is all I want to do for the rest of my life. I just want to travel. And so I began to get down. The Lord began to deal with me. And I began to pray, oh God, whatever you would have me to do, let me do it. If you want me to be a pastor, you train me to be a pastor. You want me to be a youth pastor, train me to be a youth pastor. I just want to be submissive unto you. And because I prayed that little prayer and that simple prayer, all the doors, not just a ministry began to open, but people with problems began to come out that I could be a blessing to. People that needed someone to sit there and just talk to them. Amen. They began to come to me. They began to call me. Amen. 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, to needing someone to talk with. Amen. How many know today that you can be a blessing unto somebody, whether you're just called to be a sitter and a listener. Amen. You can be a blessing whether you be called to be a counselor to somebody. You be a blessing. Amen. Whether, you know what, you see somebody that's on the corner of the highway that's begging for money. You know what? Whether they're lying to you or not, amen. I don't know about you, but me and myself, when I see somebody that's on the side of the highway that's holding a hat and has got a sign that said they're broke, and you know what, they ain't got no money, they ain't got no job, they got two kids and a family to raise, there's something that strikes on the inside of me. And a lot of times people say, well, you know what, they're probably lying. They probably got a nice platinum F-150 Ford pickup sitting a mile away that they're fixing to go in and get in. Amen. Well, you know what, I'm not doing it for myself, but I do it to be a witness of God. You're not doing it for them. If they be a liar, God will deal with them. But you're doing it to be a blessing to them. My wife hates it whenever I do that. She says, we ain't got the money. I said, well, they ain't either. I said, I'm sure that we can cut this out and we can cut that out. She says, honey, they're probably lying to you. I said, I can't help it. I got to do something. I've got to give them something. I've got to do something. Amen. How many know sometimes we've just got to do something that's out of our ordinary, something that's out of our comfort zone, something when you see somebody, you say, well, you know what, I ain't never done that before, but you know what, I'm trusting God, amen. When I get up here and preach, amen, I don't have all kinds of notes written down, I just have scripture written down, I don't know how to preach, I just get up here and preach, I just get up here and open my mouth and the Lord will let it fly. I don't know how to do a lot of things, but you know what, that don't stop me. As Jeremiah said, God told him to go and to be a prophet. But he said, I'm too young and I can't talk. I can't do this and I can't do that. Moses had the same excuses. He had the same problem. But you know what? Whenever they got down and God started dealing with them, they became some of the greatest men in the Bible that you ever know. So you say, well, I can't do anything. I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, how do you know you can't ever do it if you ain't ever tried it? You can't ever do anything if you don't ever do it. You might say, I might fail at it. Well, if you fail at it good. That's all I got to say. Do it good. If you're going to fail, do it good. That's what I always tell them. If I'm going to flunk something, I'm going to flunk it big. I'm going to flunk it good. But if I'm going to pass something, I'm going to pass it good. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it good. But the reconstruction of the body of Christ is about to take place. Reconstruction of the body of Christ is about to take place. And I like what he said in verse number 5. He said, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. I don't know about you, but I desire for the glory of God to be upon me and to be in the midst of me. I don't know what I would do if there was a day that went by that when I laid my head on my pillow that I looked up and the Spirit would quicken me, sis, and He said, you know what? You went the whole day without feeling my presence. There was an hour that went by that you had your mind on other things and that my presence wasn't real in your life. This old preacher boy, he would feel embarrassed to be called a preacher and to know that the presence of God was not in his life an hour. Well, you say, well, you can't be in the presence of God all your life. You got to do this and you got to do that. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I refuse to believe that because I believe that I can live in the presence of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, sometimes 364 days a year, or 300 whatever leap year is. Amen. But Jesus, He doesn't take off on leap year, if you would say amen with me today. He doesn't take off for holidays. He doesn't take off for family get-togethers. He doesn't take off for doctor's appointments. He doesn't take off when you have to go to the loan, amen, to the bank to get a loan because you ain't got enough finances to get you through the next month, amen. And He is there all the time and He's got your back. He's always there. And during this reconstruction that is about to take place, amen, in the body of Christ, He's not gonna leave you. He's not gonna forsake you. But what He's gonna do is He's gonna be there with you along the way to guide you and to lift you up and to build you up. That way you can go on and you can say, you know what? I felt the presence of God. I felt Him. And you know what? I was traveling the other day and I was listening to the music and I like to listen to praise and worship music, but there's sometimes now, I grew up on old Southern gospel music and I may be a little different than most people in here, but I like to go back, amen, to those old Southern gospel music, those old music, amen, and whenever those writers were writing songs, there were 2 or 3 years linked there that they were even writing one song, and what that did was that season, that song, and that built in that song the very anointing of God to be upon that song, and I began to listen. I mean, the presence of God, Pastor, began to fall in my car. I began to cry. I began to speak in tongues going down the road. This old preacher boy had church in his car going down the road on his job, and I began to thank God when I stopped. Thank you, God, for your presence. How many thanks Him for His presence? Being there with you, not leaving you or forsaking you, but being with you until the very end of time. He's there with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. The musicians would come back, please. With every head bowed and no one looking around, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. We praise you this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning that your word has come forth, and we thank you, Lord, that your man, Zechariah, Lord, saw this great vision. And Lord, we thank you, God, that it's very symbolic, dear God. We're thankful today, Lord, that if it wasn't for the Old Testament, we wouldn't have the New today. And Lord, this morning we pray, dear God, you would begin to open our spirits this morning unto your word, unto your spirit this morning. Would there be anyone in this building that would say, you know what? I'm not saved. Maybe you were saved at one time, but maybe you've backslidden. Or maybe you've never been saved at all. And you say, you know what? I want to give my heart and life to Jesus this morning. Would there be anybody here that would say that this morning? Would say, I want to get my life right with God. Because if your life ain't right with God, you won't make heaven your home. And we can tell by the way that this whole world is shaping up that, you know what, it could be, He could come before we eat lunch today. If you're here and you say, you know what, I want to make my life right with God, would you come to this altar right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be here this morning and you may say, you know what? I try to be as right with God as I can on a daily basis. I try my hardest to live for Him. I try to not let the cares of this world come in and drag me down. But you know what? Here lately I've been sick. I've been sick with all kinds of sicknesses. Maybe you got cancer. Maybe you got some kind of disease this morning that the doctors have deemed that, you know what, you may live, but it ain't going to be for 10 years. Or maybe it's a stomach ache, or maybe it's a toothache, or maybe it's a headache. Whatever it is this morning, if you're sick this morning, would you come to this altar? If you're sick in any way, sick in body, whether your toe hurts, it doesn't matter this morning. Jesus wants to touch you this morning. Oh, I said Jesus wants to touch you this morning. Oh, that contractor this morning wants to touch you this morning. He wants to do a work in your body that you ain't never felt before. He wants to do something inside of you this morning that you ain't never experienced before. He wants to do something inside of you this morning that you ain't never even thought of experiencing this morning. If you're here this morning, Jesus wants to touch you. Hallelujah. Before we pray for those that have come up for prayer, for sickness, would there be anybody in this house that would say, you know what? I want to be a part of that movement, of that reconstructing of the body of Christ. Because there are things that get in my way sometimes. There are things that get in my life sometimes that need to be reconstructed. And I just believe, amen, this morning, that in these last days, I want to be a part, amen. And I want to experience and feel, amen, the power of God when He pours it out upon His people. I want to be there. I want to be there under the spout, as they say, where the glory comes out. I want to be there so I can get filled up, so I can go and pour into somebody else's life. If you're here this morning, you say, I want a closer walk with Jesus. I want you to come to this altar right now. I want you to come to this altar. I want you to come up front. However you got to do, whatever you got to do. You may say, you know what? I don't even like you, preacher. I don't even like what you got on. I don't even like the way you got your hair. I don't even like the way you smell this morning. Well, don't come up here for me. Won't you come up here for Jesus this morning? Come up here for Jesus. You may not even like the way that I preach this morning, but you know what? You ain't coming up here for me. You ain't coming up here for your pastor. You ain't coming up here, amen, for your wife or for your neighbor sitting beside you, but you're coming up here for you. You're coming up here because you know that you need a closer walk with. You know that you want a closer walk with Jesus this morning. If you're here this morning, would you come? Hallelujah.